Our guest speaker this morning is certainly no stranger to this college. He comes from the distant and exotic land of California. I have known him as a friend, he and his wife, for years. We've served together in various facets of church governance, in our fellowship, on various boards together. He is currently the district superintendent of the Northern California Nevada District, but was especially known for his pastoral ministry, having served at Capital Christian Center, one of our flagship churches in Sacramento, California, for many years, and leading that church to new heights, and one of the greatest missions churches, sending churches in our fellowship. He also served on our CBC board for 11 years, a number of those years as the chairman of our board, and a 1956 graduate of Central Bible College himself. But most importantly, above everything else, he is Caleb's grandpa. And that is pretty significant. I probably should let Caleb introduce him this morning. Marianne, his wife, is here. Please, Marianne, stand and let us welcome you. And would you please welcome Pastor and Superintendent Glenn Cole. Bless you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning. It's great to be back at CBC again. My wife and I met here in 1951, which is a little over 50 years ago, and I'm only 49. In fact, coming back here brings back so many memories. It was just 50 years ago right now that I was rehearsing very heavily with the school quartet, getting ready to travel all summer across America representing the college. Wayne Fagerstrom was the PR man then, and he lined us up a service every day of that summer. Every single day. In those days, churches would take you any day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It would just come, and we'll have a crowd. And we traveled from here to the state of Washington and all the way back to Oklahoma and had a wonderful summer. And I wrote Marianne 99 letters that summer, because we dated just 10 days before school was out, our first year, and I wanted to impress her. So the only fear I had was that when the summer was over, she would have fallen in love with the postman because she saw him every day, but it worked out fine. Significantly, she's from the state of Wisconsin and, more importantly, from Monroe, where this new church plant Jim is working on happens to be, and we're happy to support that work as a couple, where she grew up in southern Wisconsin, the Swiss cheese capital of America. And her dad was a Swiss cheese maker. In fact, she was born on a Swiss cheese farm, factory. She's as Swiss as you can get. That's why I call her my Swiss miss. Isn't that sweet? She bleeds Swiss cheese, in fact. So, anyway, it's great to be here once again on this campus that we love so very much. And I want to congratulate the basketball team. We were privileged to be at the tournament on Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Oklahoma City, and they did a terrific job. We were really proud of the team. Coach, congratulations. You've done a great job. 2 years in a row, let's go for three. What do you say? Amen. My granddaughter Lane and my grandson Luke go to Evangel. Lane thought she might come over this morning. Is she here? Lane, are you here? And evidently she couldn't get here, but we congratulate Evangel as well. Great to see John and Dan down here too. You don't always sit on the front row, do you? We're happy for these, our friends from Sacramento. Take your Bible this morning. I would like to talk to you for a few minutes from Paul's letter to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and into chapter 6. We are involved in a Pentecostal preachers conference over at James River this week. It concludes this evening. And we have been fed greatly by Pentecostal preaching this week. And it just makes me feel good to be a Pentecostal preacher. And as I was praying about this obligation this morning, the word ministry came to my mind. And I want to talk to you from that word ministry. We are in the month of March. School is not too many weeks from being over. And that's always a highlight. But already one of the students has come to me and said, I'm graduating, and would there be any possibility of a place in your district? And it reminded me of when I was a few weeks from graduation and didn't know where I was going to go, knowing I had a call to ministry and I was available, but I didn't know where God was going to plant me. And it was just a matter of weeks before the year was over when all of that started to come together. And I have been engaged in ministry ever since the day I walked off of this campus as a graduate. Full-time ministry. And there's nothing like it in all the world. When I was called at 17 years of age to the ministry, I never dreamed what a journey it would be. Didn't have a clue. I have a lot better clue today than I did then. And I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes, using the word ministry as an acrostic, so the outline will be easy for you to follow. In this 2 Corinthians passage, chapter 5, beginning of verse 9, Paul talks about the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And I want you to underline those three words, we persuade men. That's what ministry is about, persuading men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. Down to verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And in verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. First verse of chapter 6, we are therefore workers together with God. And that in itself is a remarkable statement from the pen of the Apostle Paul. We are workers together with God. In this passage of Scripture, there are some remarkable statements, well-pleasing to him. Receive the things done in the body. We persuade men not to receive the grace of God in vain. We are given the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, fulfill your ministry. I do not know, of course, what God is calling you to do with your life, but it should involve ministry. Whatever the position might be, ministry is the overshadowing factor of your life and of your calling to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And that word ministry begins with the letter M, which for me says it's miraculous. Ministry is miraculous. I started, even while in this school, to minister. My wife and I, after marriage, pastored a little church outside of the city, about 10 miles, for quite a number of months. I feel sorry for those people who came to hear me preach week by week, but it was the beginning of something miraculous. and something I never get away from or get over, the miraculous aspect of ministry. Workers together with him. I never lose the thrill of that. That God gave me that opportunity. God gave me that privilege of participating in something absolutely miraculous. Starting way back in days that were surrounding this campus. Little did we know that God would lead us in pastoral ministry for 40 years to personally baptize in water approximately 7,000 people that I have records of, that God enabled us to lead into this reconciliation process, to become reconciled to God and part of God's family. And when I think back on those years and all of those persons that represent many more persons, the only thing I can say is this has been a miraculous journey. Miraculous indeed. Called by God from a non-pastoral family to come to this place to study the Word of God and to somehow isolate myself in the things of God for a period of time, and then being given the opportunity to put all of that into practical use and to see God work miracle upon miracle upon miracle. I hope that you who are here today, and some of you perhaps who are leaving here very, very soon, but not knowing where you're going or what God will do with you, will focus on this word miraculous. Because I want to prophesy over you today that if you're obedient to the call of ministry, there will be miraculous results. That's the only thing that can happen when you are a worker together with God. He puts the supernatural into your life. And you will one day look back as I do and say, what a journey this has been. The I in ministry is the word intriguing. This is the most intriguing thing to be involved in all the world, ministry. I never marvel at the intrigue of ministry. You never know what's going to happen when you get up in the morning when you're in ministry. For example, I remember a Monday night, we had John Hall, big John Hall, the singer, for a Monday night concert, and the concert was over, he was in the back greeting people. One lady was left in the sanctuary, and I was up on the platform beginning to pick up his things, and we were going to go out for a bite to eat after the service. We'd had a wonderful Monday night rally. This lady lingered, and she had met John before and talked a bit. Then she went out the door, and John came up to the platform. And as we stood there picking up some of his stuff, we heard a woman screaming outside of the building. And I said, John, this sounds a little bit like it's real. I said, you go out that door, I'll go out this door, and we'll find out what's going on, because we couldn't tell where it was actually coming from. I ran out the side door, and there was nothing on that side of the building, so I ran to the front, and John was across the street with the lady who had just left the church, yelling, he took my purse, he took my purse. And she was bleeding from the face. And I looked down the street and saw this guy running with this purse in his hand, which was before we got used to that. And so I just kept running. I never stopped. I saw him and I just reacted. I'm going to get this guy. And this is ministry, intriguing ministry. I'm running after a purse thief down a dark street. He turned the corner and I turned the corner, and I was in pretty good shape then, refereeing basketball and doing all kinds of things in those early days of ministry, and he was losing ground and he knew it. And he darted into some bushes in the dark. And so when I went by, not knowing exactly where he was, I listened carefully and I heard the rustle in the bushes, so I stopped. And about that time, Big John Hall is coming up the sidewalk. Now, he's 6'5" and about 280. So I pointed into the bushes, and he went around the back. There was a white railing in front of me and those bushes, and when he saw John coming from the back, he obviously felt his chances were better with me than with John. So he came out over that railing with this purse in his hand, and I grabbed him around the neck. I had an arm lock on his neck that would not let go. And he was yelling, and John came out over that railing madder than I've ever seen a person, because this man had hit this lady friend in the face with his fist, and it just incensed John. And when I had this grip on him, John came up to him, and this guy was just yelling bloody murder, and John said, "Shut up!" And he hit him right smack in the head. And the two of us tumbled into the gravel with blood spurting out on my suit. And John got on top of this guy and pulled his arm up behind his neck, about to bust it off, when he said, "What are you doing?" This guy's crying. "What are you doing? I didn't do it." He said, "Shut up!" and hit him again. And about that time, I heard the siren of a police car, and policemen came and handcuffed this guy, put him in the patrol car, and said, "Will you guys come down to the police station and give us a statement as soon as you can?" So we said, "Sure," and we did. And in the paper the next day, this big headline, right across the front of the paper in our town: "He that liveth by the grab shall trippeth on the cloth." Big headline. It was a big story. It got in the AP wire service. My sister saw it in several states away, and I became somewhat of a celebrity. I'm talking about ministry and how intriguing it is, because I wanted to touch this town. When I went there, there were 200 people in this church. When I left, there were over 2,000 people in this church. And one of the events that led to the growth was that event, catching a purse thief. And I thought, "God, you're an amazing God. I could have never figured this out. This was not taught at CBC. I never remember this kind of ministry being told me in Bible school." But it put the church on the front page of the paper. Now, the problem with this is, and I've got to finish this story, I was sitting in my study one day contemplating Sunday ministry when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "What about Floyd Mullen down in the jail?" This thief's name was Floyd Mullen. He was 48 years of age. He had spent 28 years of his 48 years in and out of jail. And I never thought about Floyd Mullen, honestly, until the Holy Spirit said, "What about this man who knows nothing about Jesus?" I got up from my chair, got into my car, and went down to the jail. And I asked if I could see Floyd Mullen. And they knew, of course, who I was and who he was. And they said, "Are you sure you want to see him?" I said, "I am sure." And they brought him into a caged area, and I had to speak to him through bars. I said, "Floyd, do you know who I am?" He shook his head no, and I was kind of relieved. But I did have to tell him. And I just began to talk to this man as simply as I knew how about the story of Jesus Christ. And I said, "Have you ever heard that God loves you, Floyd, and your life does not need to go in the pattern that it is now going? Do you know, Floyd, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came from heaven down to this planet, died for the sins of the whole world, including yours, and you can be forgiven today if you will receive the grace of God into your life?" He said, "No, I've never heard that." And so on an elementary kindergarten level, I shared with him the love of God. And I've learned through the years never to oversell. When tears start coming down the face, you've got them. Seal the deal. Don't go on into all of the doctrines of the Assemblies of God, 16 of them, you know. Don't do that. Seal the deal. And when I saw rivulets of tears coming out of his eyes, as I talked to him about the marvelous love of God, and the Spirit of God went behind those bars and began to stir this man's heart who never ever heard about the love of God. I said, Floyd, would you pray with me? He said, yes, but I don't know what to say. I said, say what I say. And I began, dear Jesus, and I heard from the other side of those bars very strongly, dear Jesus. I said, I am a sinner. And he said, I am a sinner. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I receive salvation. And in a few seconds, I opened my eyes and looked into the face of a new creature in Jesus Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. He was brand new. It was all over his face. On Sunday, I came to the jail and asked if I could take Floyd to church. They agreed. I took this thief to church and baptized him in water. And he became a celebrity. Took him back to jail. Sunday after Sunday, I would pick him up and bring him to church. 3 months later, the judge called me and said, this man is different. I don't think it's wise for us to take him to trial. On your word, I think I could get him released to a program in Seattle, Washington, that would teach him a trade and he could become a useful citizen. I said, Judge, you have my name on that one. And they did that. And it got in the paper again. Big article. The last I knew, Floyd Mullen was repairing Singer sewing machines. As a redeemed child of God. Intriguing is this thing of ministry. You never know where you're going to find the next member of the family of God. I found them on United Airlines. I have found them in the city streets and down in the shops and in Rotary Club. And of course, Sunday is the great ingathering of all that you do through the week. Ministry is intriguing. It's also necessary, the N in ministry. It's necessary. And this really amazes me because of what Paul said, workers together with God. That God needs us. God needs you. You're not a non-entity. You're important to God. You're important to the whole scheme of things for eternity. God needs you. I don't know where he needs you, but I know he needs you. And he will use you as a minister of reconciliation if you will offer yourself to him without reservation. Like the old song we used to sing, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. That's the call of ministry. With many other voices beckoning to us that may have some allure and may have some tantalizing aspects to them, there is one voice we want to tune in today, and that's the voice of the Holy Spirit calling us into ministry which changes lives for eternity. We are necessary. I was in my car in Sacramento. The radio was on and a commercial came on. For Ford Broncos. I don't pay much attention to commercials, but this one kind of captivated me because it was about a guy by the name of Melvin. Melvin didn't have a Bronco. Melvin loved this girl, but the girl was leaning toward the other fellow who owned a Bronco. And into the commercial came Melvin's guardian angel. And the guardian angel said, Melvin, for 8.8% financing, you could have a Ford Bronco and win her hand. You know what happened. He did this and the girl came Melvin's way. It was wonderful. But before the commercial ended, what grabbed me was what the guardian angel said as the commercial went off the radio. The guardian angel said, Melvin, change your socks. I can't do everything. And that was it. And I'm driving down the road, and the Spirit of God says, Glenn, I'm God, but I'm not going to do everything. That's why I have you there as a minister of reconciliation. And I wanted to salute. I didn't know what to do, but it was very real to me. And I suddenly felt again the necessity of being a minister of reconciliation to people in my lifetime, and to bring as many with me into the kingdom of God as I possibly could, and nourish them and mature them in the faith that God won't do everything. Even though he's almighty, he will not do what he wants us to do. We are necessary in order to complete the task. The I in the word ministry is inspiring. There's nothing like it. Nothing in the world. When you have the anointing of God, as explained in 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 27, and in type in the Old Testament book of Exodus and Leviticus, where the oil was applied as an anointing element in the service of our God, there's nothing like it. You can win championships, and I'm all for that, but let me tell you, there's nothing like the inspiring aspects of ministry and walking away from a service on Sunday knowing that X number of people went from darkness into light, families were united, bodies were healed, people were reconciled one to another and to God. There is nothing as inspiring as that in all of this world. There's joy in it that I hope I'll never lose. The S in ministry is satisfying. Well done, good and faithful servant. Can you imagine anything more satisfying than to hear those words, well done? Some of you are facing a crossroads, which way you're going to go. Listen to the voice of God. Pay attention to that still small voice in your soul. You may not have any contacts. I didn't either. You may not know anybody. I really didn't either. I was not connected to the stream in the assemblies of God. But I had a call. And I heard it clear. And I went forward trusting him. And I'm here to tell you 50 years later, it's satisfying beyond anything that I could ever say. The T in ministry is testing. It's not easy. It is not easy. As a superintendent, I'm dealing with ministers all the time who seem to think that they are imposed upon sometimes. And of course, I ask them, well, what did you think when you got into this? The only person I ever knew that got his work done by Friday was Robinson Crusoe. It's not an easy road. It's long hours. It's hard work. Sometimes discouraging comments and letters, which I used to love to read from the pulpit. If they don't sign their name, I might as well read it to the whole church and then say, now this person may be sitting next to you, so love them. They need help. Pray for them. Reach out and touch them. Boy, it solved so many problems. The ministry will test your personal life. It will test your marriage. It will test your skills. I never knew how to read blueprints. I never knew how to run multi-million dollar financial programs. I never knew how to do any of that until I went into the ministry and had to do it. Carved it out the best I could find. Testing, oh man, is it testing? You may never have a PhD degree, but if you get into ministry, you deserve about 10 of them. Because you have to become an expert in so many areas. And it's only by the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit that you can rise to the occasion. Sure, you're tested, but that's what life is all about. And in the testing, God gives you strength. The R in ministry is rewarding. Verse 10 in this passage that we read from talks about that reward. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be given reward according to what we have done. And I pray that it will be good and not bad. That we will invest our life and our future in that which has lasting value and not that which is just passing with time. It's rewarding. It's rewarding now and it's rewarding later when you stand before God. Talk about reward. My wife and I talk about it a lot. Having met here as freshmen in this school, without a clue of what God was going to lead us to do, and look back over these many years of ministry and see all that God has helped us to accomplish and still allows us to be involved in as we're seeking to shape lives and ministries for His glory and continue to grow the kingdom of God. I want to tell you, I feel like the most rewarded man on the planet today. And to have sons in the ministry and grandchildren that are moving in that direction, I can't tell you how wonderful it is. And how we could have missed God had we taken the easy road. It's rewarding now, and then it's going to be incredibly rewarding. Finally, the why in ministry is the word yielding. I'll tell you what concern I have as a superintendent. That too many people today use this word independent. It's almost like a curse word to me. Because there's no way you can live independent. We are dependent upon each other. And God has given us a fellowship called the Assemblies of God that will give us more opportunities than we ever dreamed possible. And the word yielding comes into ministry. We are a part of a team. We're not solo. We're a part of a great team. And the word cooperation is a big word at this stage in your life. Learn how to yield to leadership and to eldership and to cooperate with other people's vision and other people's burden and plug into what God is doing, because none of us are sufficient of ourselves. We yield to the team effort and we yield to God's design of putting us in a family. And in my case, it just happens to be the Assemblies of God, and most of you here, not all, but most, in that same family. But whatever family you're in, it's important that you stick with the family. We have this independent spirit that's spreading across the world today, and it's not healthy. I see so much that needs to be repaired because of it. From my perspective, I want to shout to you today, be a yielding kind of person. Not demanding, but yielding. Put your hand in God's hand and then take the hand of as many people as you can and yield to them. Your plans, your vision, your burden, let it be refined through those that God puts around you. And together you can see great things accomplished for the glory and honor of God. I don't know what the Holy Spirit may be saying to you at this point in your life. But I want you to think often about this word, ministry. What does it mean to you? What will God do to fulfill His design through you in ministry? There is a world out there to reach. There are churches to be planted, Brother Paul. There are places that are waiting for somebody just like you who has burden and passion and vision and the Word of God in your heart. And souls on your mind. Go for it. And enjoy the ministry that God has called you to. Ambassadors for Christ. And ministers of reconciliation. Your life will be enriched. Your story can be told. I ask you in Jesus' name, not to go to the right or to the left, but straight ahead. Hear the call. obey the voice, and let God minister through you. Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Father, we are so grateful today for the opportunity of being here, for your Holy Spirit that's in this room. And here, with just a month and a half to go in the school year, we're praying, Lord, that you would give supernatural direction to every one of these young people. Some of them will be graduating, others will be going into internships, others will be traveling, others will be going back home to find a job for the summer and come back, whatever the case may be. May their focus be ministry and how you want to use them in ministry. And I pray that you will refine the call, the voice will be clear, and they will find this word so very valuable in their growth and their process. Touch them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Before we say amen, if something in this message has just rung a bell with you and you would like to stand and say, I want to just stand to my feet and ask God for a special word, a special direction in my life, do it now. Would you just rise to your feet? If God is saying something to you, seal it, clinch it by standing. We're going to believe God with you. Whatever it is he's saying, it's going to be very clear. It's going to be very powerful and potent in your life. Now, those of you who are not standing, would you just look around if somebody's standing nearby? Would you be a prayer partner with them in the closing moments of this service as we all stand? Just find one of those. A hand on a shoulder is sometimes a wonderful thing in a person's life. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Father, up in the balcony and all across this main floor, may your Holy Spirit now do a work as hands are laid upon these young people who are sensing a special tug of your Spirit today. God, seal the things that you're wanting to say to them. Seal the things you want to say to them. Let it be down in their hearts, never to be wrenched out. Lead them in the way everlasting. And may ministry be everything you want it to be in and through their life, to the glory of God the Father and to the upbuilding of your church on earth, the winning of men to Jesus Christ. Father, by your Spirit, touch, move. Holy Spirit, seal the work that you want to do in each of them today. May this moment never be lost. May it never be forgotten as the Holy Spirit works mightily in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And everybody said amen. Amen. Brother President, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Cole. God bless you. You're dismissed. For those of you who desire for Brother Cole and his wife to just lay hands on you and pray for you for a moment, we'd like to make that opportunity available to you. God bless you.